We're in Vintage for our first day of On the Fly and of AirVenture itself here in 2016. Right now we're talking to some fellows from the Swift Fuel Company. Where is your company based?
We're based in West Lafayette, Indiana, the home seat of Purdue University.
All right. Tell us how your company came to be.
Well, the company started about 10 years or so ago by the research and work of a scientist focused on the market space for unleaded aviation gasoline and the desire to get rid of lead. And really all the work that's happened since that time has been trying to figure out, can we produce a high-performance fuel without lead that can solve all the problems of leaded fuel and still, you know, meet the needs of the industry? The industry has about 200 million gallons per year capacity for unleaded fuel, for leaded fuel. And by selling an unleaded alternative, we feel like we can fit that niche. We also have other aviation fuel derivatives that we're interested in, but the avgas space is our number one priority, which is why we have this 100-plus octane alternative, which is part of the PAFI program that I mentioned earlier. And we also have this other product called UL94, which serves about two-thirds of the U.S. fleet. They're compatible with that lower octane fuel.
Let's talk about a little bit of specifics. What type of airplane are we speaking of? Like a 182 and smaller?
So for the UL94 product, there's five tranches of airplanes to talk about. That's the 8087 avgas requiring airplanes and below.
Right.
Many of the vintage aircraft, for example, a lot of experimentals and some of the older aircraft will all be, not all, but some of them are 80 octane, 8087 and below. And the key word there is 8087.
That's the old pink gas.
Right. Red.
It's the key, exactly. The key word is 8087 avgas. The word avgas has meaning in this space. Our fuel is a 94 motor octane avgas, which means all the 8087 planes and below can fly our fuel because it exceeds their type certificated requirement. And that's very important. People ask us all the time, do I need to buy an STC? You know, what do I need to do? The answer is nothing. If you have an 8087 requiring avgas engine and a 94 octane avgas meets your needs, you're good.
Yep. The reason, it's the ASTM standard for that 8087 octane fuel.
And the reason pilots would ask you that is because we went through that whole MoGas era with the Peterson STC and all that stuff. So that's where that comes from.
So I was giving you kind of the five tranches. The first tranche is the 8087. That's the low end. The next tranche is the ones you mentioned just now, the autogas STC crowd. Peterson Aviation and EA both sold STCs. Autogas STCs, and autogas is what's called, it's roughly about a 91 or 93 AKI, which is about an 86 motor octane number, so it's higher than the 80 octane. And so there's about 50,000 airplanes across the world that can fly an autogas STC, and they're compatible with our fuel. And then you have a tranche above that, well, really the same tranche, which is the light sports. The light sports, mostly Rotax engines, but there are certainly other.
Yeah, there's two or three other engine brands, yes.
That allow autogas, but autogas with certain sort of conditions to it. And our fuel is fully compatible with all the autogas-related requirements. It exceeds all the autogas requirements. Motor octane is higher. Vapor pressure is low. Gums are low. It meets all the autogas requirements, and it exceeds them all. The next tranche is 91 motor octane requiring avgas. And those will be like the Cessna 172 R's and S's, the Piper Seminoles, and a whole bunch of hundreds of others. Yeah. And we have an avgas STC for those. That represents about 10% of the U.S. fleet, about 20,000 aircraft.
There were many airplanes that weren't eligible for autogas STCs because of their fuel system configuration, especially with efforts relative
vapor
to
locking
vapor
locking and
vapor
things
lock.
Like that, yeah.
Low-wing airplanes primarily. Yeah.
So our 94 motor octane avgas is designed to meet all those sort of lower tranches, the 91 motor octane and below. It's tailored for aviation. It is an avgas, so it has the low vapor pressure, the low gums, all the things that avgas requires, and it's got a 94 minimum motor octane. So 91 and below can all fly that fuel. What it leaves out, what it's not capable of solving, is the 100 octane, which is why we're in the PAFI program for the 100 octane full replacement fuel. And when that comes out, people say, well, are you still going to have the lower octane? I don't know. It'll be a market choice. What we wanted to prove is that the 94 octane fuel is out there. It's commercially available. It's price competitive. People that fly MoGas prefer this fuel. People who fly low lead prefer this fuel. So we're trying to teach people in the market the value and merits of unleaded fuel. Less, you know, no spark plug fouling from lead, no oil dilution, better wear, less wear and tear on the engine, which means longer engine life. There's a lot of positives to unleaded fuel.
Let's get a little bit technical and say, what is it that keeps the fuel from needing to have lead? What is it about it that replaces the need for lead in the fuel
for the engine? Well, lead really is for octane enhancement. So if you select the proper hydrocarbons in the correct mix, then you have that capability. And so that's what all the research and testing has been over the last few years. Which hydrocarbon compounds meet that octane requirement need of all the engines?
Okay,
so
good.
The transition of unleaded fuel started last year at AirVenture with our announcement of the UL 94, and now is continuing.
So the four or five tranches that I gave you before, the 91, the Autogas, the Light Sports, and the 80 octanes and below, none of those need lead. None of those require lead. None of those need lead. They can all fly with a hydrocarbon fuel that's not leaded. The only one that needs lead, only because of what Brian said, is the octane boost, is the 100-octane fleet, and our high-octane fuel fixes that. It's got a non-leaded alternative for the high-octane fleet, which will encompass the entire fleet when the time comes.
The beauty of all this transition to unleaded fuels is actually the maintenance aspects. The engines run much cleaner internally. So not only are they more environmentally friendly from an exhaust emission standpoint, but the engine oil stays cleaner, no lead deposits inside fouling spark plugs. Spark plug lives last almost indefinitely, literally two or three normal spark plug changes you can bypass with unleaded fuels. Automotive industry has kind of showed this path too.
From a pilot perspective, would the airplane be operated the same way? Do you still lean it on the ground and do all those things that you do now with leaded fuel?
Yes, the leaning on the ground isn't quite as necessary because much of that is for lead fouling to get the combustion temperatures higher to scavenge the lead. There's actually two components in leaded fuel, the lead itself and then ethylene dibromide, which is a scavenger which removes the lead. One of the problems, especially with the lower octane engines, is the fact they don't produce enough combustion temperature to activate the ethylene dibromide as the scavenger. So the lead builds up on spark plug tips as well as the combustion chambers in the engine.
And by the way, the ethylene dibromide is even more toxic than lead. But who's counting?
Yes, that's right.
Well, getting rid of the toxicity is, of course, a wonderful thing.
That was one of the key efforts of the PAFI process, is we don't want to transition to something more hazardous than what the lead has been.
As an end user, I think one of the things that's really cool is, everyone has other things in their stable, so to speak, or hangar than an airplane. They got their dirt bike. They got their tug that they tug the airplane out with. And those can't use leaded fuel. So you couldn't use your 100-octane that you had handy right there to run that stuff, technically. And now you will be able to, correct? It's compatible with everything.
That's right. And one of the great advantages to this fuel is it's very storage stable. So as a result of that, you can leave it for long periods of time in those pieces of equipment and be ready to start.
No varnish, exactly.
Just a note, by the way, Swift Fuels also markets a variety of two-stroke and four-stroke derivative fuels, which we sell in cans, one-gallon cans, four-gallon cans. We sell them to fire departments for chainsaws, classic car owners, outboard motors that are looking for ethanol-free, high-quality, premium-grade gasolines. We sell all that in a different brand name. We sell that across the country today. So we primarily sell Avgas, and we use all of our science and our premium components for Avgas because it's held to such a high standard. But now we're competing with a bunch of other kind of off-branded fuel products selling a very premium product. A lot of airports have figured this out and want to use that fuel too for different kinds of equipment.
So this is where we're headed. So right now we have UL 94 right here. On the field that you can buy for, did you say $3.10 a gallon?
The EAA fuel barn for the ultralights is selling our fuel for $3.10. And I just saw a MoGas truck drive by that said $3.79. Go figure. Uh-huh. But we're selling our fuel for $3.10 in the ultralight booth.
And it's all commercially insured for aviation use, too.
Yeah. And then where do we go from now? Like, where is this going to grow from your perspective? Like,
more
by
airports.
Next year here at Oshkosh.
More airports. Many airplanes flew here to AirVenture on the UL 94 that they received at some of those 29 airports around the country.
So there's eight Wisconsin airports that have our fuel now. You can find the map on our website, swiftfuels.com. There's, I think, six in Indiana. Michigan's got some, Ohio's got some. So there's airports all around. And I mentioned as far away as California, New York, and Florida. But in the flight path to Oshkosh, there's probably 15 or 20 airports that have our fuel. And we certainly would encourage people that came here to use our fuel. And if you fly home, stop off and get it. So what we're hoping, to answer your broader question, we need pilots to talk to their airports, to talk to their airport boards, to talk to the FBOs, and call us, and we'll arrange for the fuel. So that, you know, it all depends, it's kind of complicated, but it depends upon the relationship that exists between the FBO and the sort of contracts that exist from the fuel distributors. We work really well with AdFuel. We're working with World Fuel. We're trying to work with Eastern Aviation, Epic, and Phillips 66. Those are the big fuel distributors. And most of them are syndicated. They have big operations. We also work independently of them ourselves directly with airports. We've shipped it in drums to private pilots. We've shipped it to light sport hangars across the country. We've shipped it to FBOs. We work with major distributors. We'll do it all. You know, we're really trying to serve the industry.
Wow, that's great. You guys are doing a fantastic thing for General Aviation. And
thank you very much.
We commend you, and thank you for taking the making the effort to.
Can we just give 30 seconds to Rick Volker and Chris Rounds? Both flew Howards, two different Howards here.
Very, very nice.
And I'm going to hand the baton to you guys.
Hey guys.
Yeah, just real quick, tell us where you how
Tullahoma, you. Tennessee. We flew from Tullahoma, Tennessee to Oshkosh on this fuel, and plan on returning home on this fuel, and have no problems, easy starts, and everything's great.
That's awesome.
And Rick Volker, I flew my wife's Howard here. And I also fly my air show routine in my Harvard on that fuel all the time. It's great stuff. The plane loves it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us on the fly here in Vintage. And we appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the show this week. And good luck to you going forward and to all of us with your products.
Thank you.
J-Mont G, we're on the fly down at Vintage. And we'll be right back with some more action down here.